You can get it done. What's more, you gotta get it done.
There's a gleam, man. There's a gleam. Let's get the gleam, all right? Let's go.
Want a piece of that championship? Put it in here.
Hey, guys, where else would you rather be?
Welcome in to Hour 2 of Big Dog Sports Talk with Rick Watson on 105.3 The Bear. Join the conversation now on the Baker Team Hotline, 540-731-1053, or text Rick and the show at 744-2990. And now your host, the Big Dog Rick Watson.
Yeah, we're grooving right into hour number two. EWF here on a Tuesday. Gonna be a gorgeous day, man, oh man. Loving the weather. Text line's open for you, 744-2990. As usual, it is popping. Joining us now on the program, he's always popping. He is the Virginia Tech Hall of Famer, your broadcaster of the year in the Commonwealth, Mike Burnham. Mike, how are you? Good morning.
Good morning, Rick. I'm doing well. How about you? Beautiful morning out there.
Oh, it is.
About 60 degrees or something. Is it going to get up in the 80s? Oh. Man, this is nice.
No humidity, Mike. This is the weather as God intended right here.
Chamber of Commerce Day, brother.
Yes, it is. Well, it's been pretty cool, man. We're seeing, and you've talked about it, and I know Bill has. I mean, we're seeing Virginia Tech starting to slowly get national respect. And the latest list that came out from that guy, Phil Steele, who I think does it as well or better than anybody out there, he has Virginia Tech in his top 10 surprise teams, Mike. And I'm not surprised. How about you?
Well, you know, it's wishful thinking, I guess. I mean, you got to be cautiously optimistic. But, yeah, I mean, they got a chance to be good. I don't know, with all those players coming back and drones coming back and, you know, you got 22 starters and all that production coming back. I mean, man, oh, man, you got to feel good about it. Now, you still got to go out and perform because those guys across the other team, you know, they're on scholarship too, and you got a target on your back now. So it won't be easy by any means, but certainly they have the capability of it. And I hope he's right. I mean, I think this is a year because you think about – you know, you don't want to look too far ahead, but, I mean, a lot of these guys are not going to be here next year.
Right.
So I think with so many seniors in this class, this is probably the year to get her done, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great point. That's a very good point. Got to take advantage of it, year three of the system for a lot of these guys. And I just think it's refreshing to see, Mike, and people keep sleeping on what they actually accomplished in the portal, in my opinion, just by retaining the guys that they were able to retain, starting with the quarterback. I mean, there's never any guarantee you're going to be able to plan for the next season. Well, Tech was able to do that by taking care of those guys early.
Yeah, no doubt. And that was obviously the biggest point of emphasis because you just got to have that guy, right? I mean, he's your guy. And he's the one that stirs the drink, the straw, right? So you got to take care of him, and you got to make sure you get some backup in place just in case something happens to him, just like what happened to Liz Kittley in women's basketball. And so, yeah, that's the most important position, and they were able to do that. And, you know, I think for him it was a great move to stay because I think we talked about it before. You know, you go somewhere else mm-hmm. and you don't know what they have. You don't know what kind of weapons you have with you. Now you got all the chemistry with the guys that you've had. You've been with them for a year, all spring, all the off season. You're out there running the player-only workouts. And, you know, you're developing this chemistry and with the team that you have now, and it's like, why would you leave? You can make your money on the other end. You know, have a great year, have great stats,
right?
Come back and use your weapons, and yeah, I mean, yeah, you might have made some more money up front, but on the back end, you might have gotten your butt beat up and gotten hurt, bad offensive line, tougher schedule. You never know where you know what might have happened, but I think he's much better off here. I think he understood that, and I think the coaches did a great job of relaying that to him. Hey, look, you got a heck of a situation here. Everybody's back. Look at your receiver room. Look at the running backs. You got more depth on the offensive line than you've had. You had a top 20 defense last year. You know, and they're going to be better. Look at the defensive line you got now. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's a win-win that all that stuff worked out. And, you know, hopefully they can reap the benefits.
Well, and I think they easily fit into this category, being one of the top 10 most improved teams. I really do. I think it just falls right in there, especially, Mike, how many times we talked about the schedule. I mean, the schedule this year really falls in their favor, and I don't think that's something that people should take lightly. It really matters a lot, especially these non-conference games.
Yeah, that's it. You got to skate through it just like we hoped they would last year, right? And they didn't. They were 1-3.
Mm-hmm.
And how they were able to turn that thing around, man, it's pretty amazing when you think about it. And had a better record in the ACC than all those other teams, you know, Carolina and Duke and Clemson and Miami. You know, their better record, 5-3, was better. And so they were able to turn it around and get that momentum and, you know, win the last game when they needed to be bowl eligible, and got the job done in the bowl game. So I think right now they're a team with a lot of confidence, a lot of weapons, and, you know, they're getting a little bit of love, and they got to just keep it tampered a little bit, but go out there and do your job.
Five teams out of the ACC showed up in this list from Phil Steele. Now, there's different levels of who's going to be a surprise team. He's got both Clemson and Florida State, and I think he means surprise maybe in terms of being a national title contender for both of those. But along with Tech, I think in their tier, he's got Miami and SMU, Mike. And you've talked about SMU. I mean, they just – they raised a record amount of money in 1 year. $155 million they announced. That outdistanced everybody in the Power Fours. And yeah, they did that because they were promised that money if they made this move and accepted to take a lot less money coming in and forfeiting a lot of money. They knew they were going to get it back, and sure enough, they did. So, I mean, half of this list is consisted of ACC teams, which shows you that this league could have a big 2024.
Yeah, which is important and which is a real key. You know, they got to get through these non-conference games that are marquee matchups and win them, you know, and get a little more respect. And if the ACC ends up imploding, whenever that may be or whatever may happen, or if there becomes a power conference, then you're positioned to be taken in and be a relevant part of it. And I think that's important. That's just like what Coach Pry and Witt talked about. We were at Hotel Roanoke, and we were in Northern Virginia. We were in Richmond. You know, football's got to be good. And, you know, it feeds everything else. It's the bell cow. It's, you know, you need that to determine everything else. And if it's good, then, you know, you're going to position yourself to be included because of your fan base and the great support that you have and selling out all those games last year with the exception of the one Thursday night. So, yeah, I mean, I think the ACC is in good position. I mean, the portal now just changes everything for everybody, right?
Right.
I mean, you can go in there and redo your team. I mean, look what Syracuse was able to do with some of those headline guys they got.
Right.
Kind of scary, yeah. And, you know, Georgia Tech's going to be good. So, you know, it's not going to be easy by any means. But, you know, I think when you just look at it on paper, they got a great chance to be successful.
Mike Burnup, the Hall of Famer, joining us on the program, just talking all things Tech now during the late June, July period where we get cranked up and ready about a month out. I know guys are getting stronger, Mike, right? I mean, just because there's nothing happening in terms of news doesn't mean there's not things going on within the program.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I looked at those kids that were at the Hotel Roanoke last week, and, I mean, Jones looks bigger than ever and stronger and faster, and, I mean, he's just a stud, man, I'm telling you. And same way with those. Daquan Felton looked like he grew an inch or two. And, you know, I mean, they're just they're working hard in the offseason, no doubt. Coaches finally get a little bit of a break now in the month of July. It's kind of their downtime, and then they'll come back and get ready to go to work. But it was a good June with all the camps that they had and prospects that they've gotten kids on campus and gotten a few people that are committed. And yeah, I think it's everything's going well right now. It's just a matter of can you keep it sustained and, you know, not have anything crazy happen or get somebody hurt.
Well, that's the thing, and that's what changes everything. You know, I mean, I was talking about that in the first hour. I mean, you can make all these plans and all these things about excited about, and just like we saw with Ollie Jennings, right? I mean, and one play and then you're done. And that's the thing that you just, every team across the country has to have that in the really front of their mind, not just in the back of their mind, how injuries could change everything around.
No, look at Florida State last year in football. I mean, how good were they?
Right.
And then all of a sudden, you know, the air goes out of the balloon and they get totally left out of the playoff. And, all that crazy stuff just because of the one injury. So, yes, you never know. And it can happen to anybody at any time. And you just got to hope you got capable backups. And that's what, you know, yabba dabba do. Clemson, you know, he thinks
right.
that he doesn't need to go to the portal because he thinks his backups are better than anybody in the portal. So we'll see what happens with them after having a 4-4 league record last year in the league. So it's going to be interesting to see. Some of these early games are going to matter and kind of give you a little bit of a sense of what the league has.
Well, and things are so unforgiving in sports, Mike, as you know, you've done this so long. I mean, Dabo has earned the cred, I guess, with the titles and where they have come from. But you mentioned last year the bad ACC record. If they have a fall off this year, I got a feeling he's going to get a lot more pressure from all those donors, all those people that really run that program. If he continues to have this policy, if they don't succeed, I mean, the portal thing is going to have to visit Clemson pretty soon, I would think.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think so too, and he probably understands that as well. But, you know, who knows what motivates some of those guys. Sometimes he gets to be stubborn, you know. Oh, we can develop our players, and we can do this, we can do that. Well, you better win. And, you know, they don't stand for these subpar years like this, like they had last year. And so, yeah, kind of see what happens with that and, you know, how the quarterback performs and all that sort of stuff, because they certainly got the fan base. They got everything else they need. And who knows where that lawsuit's going to end up with them, Florida State, and all the other stuff that's been still behind the scenes in the works, I'm sure.
Last week, one of the listeners brought up, and it was an interesting conversation, are sports better now, even with how the athletes are, bigger, stronger, all the advantages they have, all the technology? You've been doing this for so long, Mike. You're the perfect person to ask. You were such a good college player during your time, and you've watched all these generations. Do you believe the college game, just college football, is better now than it was 20, 30 years ago? Do you see it being a better overall product? We know the athletes are different, but what about the game itself?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's better. I mean, clearly the athletes being bigger, faster, stronger, and, you know, more powerful. I think that it has changed the game clearly. And I just think that, yeah, it is a lot different game. Maybe not as pure as it was back in the day, but I think that, it's just so much different now with the skill level that these people have and the way the rules have changed. And the way nutrition has changed and weightlifting has changed. I mean, so much of stuff has gone into it, the change of the game the way it is, the off-season programs. I mean, you never used to have all that stuff.
Right, right.
Weight rooms were small, and, you know, the training table was different, and, you know, you ate different food, and, like, pregame meal was steak and eggs. Well, you'd never do that now. And just stuff like that. I mean, the nutrition, the weightlifting, the more knowledge that they have about the human body and, you know, what makes it go and stamina and how do you, you know, I think so much of that stuff has changed. It's made it a much faster game, more to the NFL. And yeah, it's pretty cool watching it, how it's developed. And, you know, some of those guys back in the day that were playing with us, you know, you wonder, well, could they even, like, get a look this year, you know,
right.
Nowadays?
Yeah, yeah.
But most of them are so small, like a lineman. I mean, you didn't have linemen like this now. I mean, it's amazing how big some of those dudes are.
What would you say?
And how they move.
Yeah, what would you say your offensive line back when you played averaged weight-wise?
Oh, they might have been, like, 250 at the most. You might have one guy or two guys that were, like, 245, 250, and that was about it. Yeah, and I mean, now you don't even think about it. You couldn't even get on the field unless you're 300 almost.
I know, you're right, yeah.
And then be about 6'2". So, yeah, it's a lot different. You know, the skilled people are, you know, skilled people, but those linemen, man, they totally change the game.
Yeah, you're right.
And just in the speed of the guys in the defense, you know, the linebackers, defensive backs, you know, and of course the rules have helped. They've cleaned it up a little bit where you don't get – clothesline when you go across the middle, you know, like back in the day. But yeah, it's It's a lot different, that's for sure.
Yeah, that makes good sense. That's a great point, Mike, you make. I mean, the evolution across the offensive line and the fact that on defense your athletes are just as good as they are on offense, which didn't always used to be the case, right? That also kind of shows up now as more so than ever.
Oh, no, you look at those defensive ends, and those guys are like, run like deer, right? I mean, they're so quick and fast, and it makes it so difficult for a 300-pound tackle to get out there and just be able to block him. Yeah, it's a lot different in the way the linebackers can run these days, and it's a whole different world out there.
How is text about Sammy the Snake? How's he doing? Everything good? Everything good there?
You know, it's so funny. I haven't seen that little critter for a while, and I saw one like in the spring that was walking He was kind of crawling across the road just right below me.
Mm-hmm.
And down there by Coach Beamer's driveway, I said, well, it's a good place for you. Just stay right there. And I just sat there and looked at it for about 5 minutes and never, just kept looking back but never moved. And so, it's been kind of quiet in that front. Now, some of the weeds have grown up a little bit, and I wouldn't be surprised if they're lurking somewhere in there.
Oh, there's no question.
I ain't going to find out. As a matter of fact, I went and got a pair of boots. So now when I'm weed eating or going to picking up some weeds now, I get these boots that come up almost to my knee now, just in case.
Was Sammy the one that wasn't? Which one was it? A year or two ago, that was on your door, like just sitting there on your doorstep or something. Was that Sammy?
Oh yeah,
yeah, yeah.
No, you just come home. He's just laying out there in the sun catching rays. What can I do for you? Hey, the mail came. I got it here for you.
You want in? Sorry.
Yeah. And it wouldn't move. I mean, it was just sat there, like, you having fun yet? The neighbors, family, friends, neighbors, they didn't like coming by too often when that was going on.
Yeah, well, Mike, guess don't do dinner at your house tonight. How about that? But would you come over to our house?
Yeah, we'll have some snake.
right.
In fact, somebody went around the house the other day, and they said, we saw a snake skin back there. I thought, okay, well, that's good. It's back there.
There you go. Well. Well,
it's so dry, man. I'm telling you,
it is.
Like,
it is
dry, and you'll mow grass, and it's a dust bowl.
Yeah, I had to just cancel mowing this week because it is so dry. Brown patches are there. It's just too much. It's just too much.
Yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt.
Well, Mike,
cool was it last night with all the stuff going on?
Yeah, we had a lot going on.
The baseball season, college baseball ended. What a game that was! And then the hockey game, 2-1.
That was cool,
man.
Those final
now
countdowns.
What do you watch? It's baseball or nothing, right?
It's either baseball or if you still think NASCAR or whatever, that's it. That's it for the next – well, training camps do start in July, so that's good. That'll give us some nice distraction.
That's true, too. Yeah, good point.
But, you're right.
Good
man.
Point.
We are now in the dreaded – this is now for a sports fan. This is the dog days of summer. We are here. We are now here.
Yes, indeed. Are you getting away anywhere this summer?
I hope to. Probably looking at July sometime. But, I'll be around. I'll probably still do the show, but I'll just take time off here. I got too much to do around. So,
yeah. Well, I'll be in Florida next week for the 4th of July. Looking forward to that. Got a house full of people.
Oh, that'll be nice.
It's going to be a blast.
That will be a blast. I got to get down there for a burn-up 4th of July party sometime.
Heck yeah, man. The food's there, and it's like watch the fireworks. It's pretty cool.
Just get
looking
up.
Forward to that for sure.
Just get up and do the show staring at the beach. I mean, why not? Just be sitting right down there in the lounge chair. I mean, you could do that.
That's right. Life is good.
Life is good.
The only problem is that central time, man. You get up here like, this is 7 o'clock becomes 6.
That's true.
Like, ooh.
That is very true. Yeah, that little time.
It is a vacation, right?
Well, that's right. Yeah, it doesn't matter if you're vacating, but yeah, that's true. All right, man. Well, listen, great stuff as always. Appreciate you as always, and I hope you have a great week.
Yeah, you too. You do, and enjoy this beautiful weather, and we'll catch up with you here later.
All right, brother. Stay safe, man.
All right, Rick. See you now.
All right, there you go. That's the Hall of Famer, Mike Burnup, joining us on the program. Good stuff from Mike, as always. Yeah, he's right. I think he makes two very, very good points. I mean, the evolution of the offensive line, and boy, you look over there on defense, even the linemen, right? The amount of athletic ability on that side is, I think overall college football is better just because of that in itself. More coming up as we roll along in hour number two. Stay with us.
It's the Big Dog on the Bear.
This is Curtis G of the Cincinnati Bengals, and I am a proud listener of Big Dog Sports Talk with Rick Watson.
On our new home, 105.3 The Bear. We're already finishing up a month on The Bear coming up. At the end of this week, it'll be like a month. Hard to believe. 744-2990 is the text line. Baker Team Hotline's always open for you, 731-1053. Although it'll be occupied coming up with WFXR's Jermaine Farrell. And we're going to talk some wrestling today. A little wrestling with Jermaine. It's a passion for him, passion for me, and I know many of you. So we're going to get into some wrestling conversation today. I don't know which direction it'll go yet, but we'll let Jermaine figure that out. And then we'll just run with it. And then David Smith, our NFL correspondent. I believe we're going over the NFC West today. Finishing up our spring into summer pre-training camp previews. Interesting division. New coach in Seattle. Kyler Murray returns for Arizona. And the Rams' life officially now without Aaron Donald. And the 49ers with Kyle Shanahan. They have the best running back in the league. Is Brock Purdy really going to be that guy going forward? We'll see. We shall see. But we'll get into it with David and get his takes leading off the Power Hour. So that will be very interesting to see what we think about that division. I think it's going to be a good division. And there's one team there that I really like that I think has a chance to be a Super Bowl contender. But we'll get into that as well. All right, good stuff today. Great conversation with Mike Burnham. And we'll continue the great conversations on this Tuesday. Jermaine Farrell joins us next. Hope you're doing wonderfully on a Tuesday morning. As Mike said, a Chamber of Commerce morning. It is just. We'll be back.
Big Dog Sports Talk with Rick Watson.
For the top of the hour. Great stuff there from Mike Burnham, David Smith, the lead off hour number three. Hope you're doing great wherever you might be here on this Tuesday. We're always doing great. We're joined by the sports director at WFXR. Nobody covers local sports better than the folks at WFXR. Jermaine, how are you? Good morning, my friend.
Good morning to you. I felt like I was getting ready to hear the Road Warriors come out. You played Iron Man.
I know, right? See? That's why I did that, because we're going to talk some wrestling, baby.
Well, well, right now you got Paul Ellering. He's with a new wrestling team he's got on WWE. So
Well, I tell you, it's and you and I have talked about it a lot. By the way, how are you? Everybody good in your fam? Everybody good?
Yeah, you know, we're taking it one day at a time. You know, the Lord has definitely blessed us with so much. So, you know, we just rolling that way. And I want to give a shout out to my awesome and beautiful wifey. I tell you, Yolanda is such a blessing. And, you know, I love her so much. And, you know, she's done so much for me. So I want to do that shout out. You know, I should do it more often on the show.
We got to get her on the show. So we have to do.
Yeah, we do have to get her on the show. You know,
yeah.
She'll tell you all the stories that about me, I guess.
Oh, yes, we do. Maybe.
Yeah, we'll get it. You know what? I will have to run it through her people because, you know, you got to go through that.
Oh, there's, sure.
There's probably some things involved, like monetary stuff or a special guest appearance. So
yeah.
I got to go through her people.
Okay.
So
all right.
I'm sure I can work it out. You know, sometimes you just have to let people know what's up. But yeah, I got to go through her people. So we'll see how that goes.
All right. So the peeps want to hear, I think you teased it one time since we're talking wrestling right now, on your Andre the Giant story.
I had an Andre the Giant story?
Didn't you have an Andre the Giant story? I thought you had an Andre the Giant story.
I don't recall an Andre the Giant story. I do have another story, but I don't think it was Andre the Giant.
No, okay. Well, what do you got? What's your story? What's your story?
All right, so when I was working at Wichita Falls, you know, Texas, you know, there was a stretch where Monday Night Raw was coming to smaller towns, so they came out there.
Yeah.
And the coach was out there, and so I was interviewing the coach during our 6 o'clock show out there. And so the coach afterwards said, "Hey, do you want to see this? You want to see Monday Night Raw?" I said, "Yeah, sure. You have any tickets?" No.
So right.
He gave us like front row tickets. So me and my cameraman, we were there, and we were watching Raw. And he gave us front row tickets, and that was when Randy Orton was the champion and all that. This was This was 2008. Yeah, it was 2008 when we did. Just think about that. I was like, you know, 16 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah, 16 years ago. And he said, "Hey," so we're sitting front row. You know, I think we were behind, I think JR and Jerry Lawler were the hosts of the show. So that was pretty cool. We're anchoring the show and all that. But yeah, but you got me intrigued because you were saying I had a Andre the Giant story, and I can't think of I ever said I had Andre the Giant.
Yeah, maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe there was. Maybe it was
somebody. Maybe you confused me with somebody else.
Maybe so. Maybe so. Maybe so. I've had two Ric Flair situations pop up. One where I was just married, and most recently down in Huntersville, North Carolina, when I was doing the dread. When I was in shape and I was much younger, doing the mud runs and things like that, and. I met Ric Flair, and we hung out with him that night with my friends. We were going to go do all that. But anyway, first time, yeah. Oh, yeah. I got pictures. It was great.
You hung out with the Nature Boy?
Yeah, at his restaurant down there in Huntersville, North Carolina. He was great. He was great,
did
man.
Did he pick up the tab for you?
He did. We did nothing. He just we didn't have to pay for
whatever you want.
Whatever we wanted, food, drink, didn't matter. And he just hung out with us, and we just respectfully got him to tell stories, and he was great. He was more interested in what we did, each of us were doing, when he found out I was in sports and things like that. He's a huge sports fan, massive sports fan. But
that was
really cool.
He's pretty cool. Hey, you know what's funny? So I was watching some old wrestling on YouTube, and it was an NWA pro wrestling. This was back in April of 87. And I remember watching this, and this was when Manny Fernandez, the Raging Bull, and Rick Rude were the World Tag Team Champions with Paul Jones. And obviously, you know what happened. Rick Rude left to go to WWE, so they dropped the belt. But I don't know if they were trying to maybe get something going, because apparently, and they were heels, but then they were talking trash about the Four Horsemen, talking trash about, remember with Tully Blanchard,
yeah,
he was the TV champion, he would give, you know, $10,000 and you could beat them.
That's right.
But back then they were getting ready for the Jim Crockett Senior Memorial Cup, and Rick Rude says, you know, he says, "Look at the man that can and will unwrap the total package," because he was trying to be a part of the Four Horsemen. So I don't know if they were trying to get something going with them. You know, maybe they could have. It would have been pretty neat to see you know, Manny Fernandez and Rick Rude go up against, you know, any combination of the four horsemen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would have. Yeah. Who do you think's better? I guess two guys of the, I guess more, modern's probably not the right term, but who do you put as a higher grade wrestler? Was it Bret Hart or was it Shawn Michaels? Of the, you know, the different, I know it's a tough choice because they're both considered two of the best of their time.
Well, if you think about it, they both were part of two great tag teams in the Hart Foundation and obviously the Rockers and the Midnight Rockers, respectively. So they were great tag team wrestlers, but then they broke off and they ended up being, you know, singles wrestlers. You know, both were world champions and, you know, did awesome things. So, boy, that's a tough one. But they do say, you know, the best there was, the best there is, the best there was, the best there will be. But then on the flip side, you know, Shawn Michaels was such a showstopper.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Yeah.
I tell you what, I wouldn't go wrong either way if you took a pick with either one of them. So I would lean a little bit closer more to Bret Michaels.
Hey, Michaels. You love poison.
You know, I would never, and that's, you talk about, that's like confusing castor oil with anything else.
I think I'm with you, though. I think you remember Ric Flair chose Shawn Michaels to end his career, right? That match
remember, he wouldn't have picked Bret Hart because remember he had issues. Remember Bret had issues with WWE.
Well, that's right. He did.
So he couldn't have picked him, but. Yeah, but he said if he's gonna go, but then again he said, hey, if I'm gonna go out, I'm gonna, you know, pick Sting, you know. So when he, and by the way, I think tonight's the last night of the you know, the WWE, well, Who Killed WWE, which, you know, they had so much potential and they screwed it up, and you know, there's things they did with that thing, and it's almost like every now and then they go back and revisit, you know, what killed WWE?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, are we gonna keep revisiting this topic? You know, like every so often, like, well, what's called WCW? It is like, a lot of factors in there. I mean, I to be honest, I mean, really, I tell you what killed it, in my opinion, was the fact that Turner, you know, once Ted Turner left, you know, Ted Turner, you know, he merged his.
Well, that's right. That's right.
Time Warner. I think that's what really did it in. I don't think it was one person. But you had, like, just some weird stuff going on with that organization. So, you know, who knows why things happen the way they do. But I will say that it was such – I mean, it was good we had multiple organizations, and now you do have multiple, you know, wrestling organizations, and everybody's trying to do something with them. So, you know, we'll see what happens with it.
Well, I agree with you. I think there are a lot of people as to the downfall of it, and I think a lot of people were guilty during that time. But it did. It, for a moment there, it was the thing, though, man. I tell you, and the rise of the NWO put it over the top, didn't it? For several weeks or months, actually, on the ratings and so forth.
Well, and then the thing is, I mean, you have, you know, when there were so many people that. They said, well, is Sting going to turn a heel? Originally, Sting was going to turn heel, but they didn't want that. But so then Hulk Hogan said, well, I'll do it. And I think a lot of it maybe was Hulk Hogan's ego. Maybe he wanted to be the man. Because, you know, they say he has a tremendous ego. So maybe it could have been, you know, Hulk Hogan that said, hey, I'll turn heel. So.
But then
but
I.
But I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, you remember when he did that, though, and I remember Kevin Nash and all those guys. He didn't want to play ball, though. He still wanted to do things. It was like they didn't like him. They didn't want him. They knew he had to turn for it to work, but then it didn't really work at first because he was so all about himself. I remember seeing that, too, about, you know, when.
But the crazy thing is that when, and they talk about this in wrestling, you know, you're going to have those, you're going to have your A-listers, you're going to have your top level, you have your mid-card, and you have the other ones. But, you know, in order to probably be as great as you are in wrestling, you kind of have to have a heel. Like, you spent time with Ric Flair, but let's let's be real about it. Ric Flair, you know, tremendous ego, but I mean, great wrestler, great for the business, great talker. And they say that there are, you know, keys to being a great wrestler. You know, there's some that don't have all of them.
Well, that's
right. First of all, you got to perform in the ring. Number two, you got to be able to talk. Because if you can't talk, it's kind of like one without the other. But I remember on an Arn Anderson podcast, they asked, well, what's more important, being a talker, a great talker, or being, you know, a good wrestler?
Yeah.
You know? And I think you kind of have to have them both. I don't think one overshadows the other. But I think if you can talk, you could probably do things in the ring. Like, if you notice, a lot of the wrestlers that had managers, most of them really couldn't talk. Although, you know, you look at the Four Horsemen, they had J.J. Dillon, but they all could get a promo.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I mean, I don't think there was no one on the Four Horsemen that couldn't talk. Now, the later additions, Chris Benoit wasn't a great talker. You know, God rest his soul. And you look at the Midnight Express. I mean, you know, Loverboy Dennis, Beautiful Bobby, Sweet Stan Lane could talk a little bit, but for the most part, the mouthpiece was, you know, Jim Cornette. Like, when you think of great wrestlers, great manners,
he was great.
Like, he could cut a promo. I mean, in your opinion, I mean, when you think of managers, I think the managers that could cut promos, you know, like WWE had a bunch of managers at that time, like. You never really heard Jimmy Hart cut a promo or Freddie Blassie or Mr. Fuji. They cut some. But the best one out of that group was obviously the Brain, Bobby
Heenan. The Brain Heenan, yeah.
He could cut a promo. And really in WC or NWA, you know, Jimmy Cornette could cut a promo. Paul Jones was decent as a promo cutter.
He was.
Dillon could cut a promo. And Paul Ellen could cut a promo. So it's funny. I thought the manager at that, in that era, I thought the managers on NWA were better promo cutters than the ones on WWE or WWF.
Agreed, 100%. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that's a great observation you make. The ones with the managers, it was almost like they needed the protection because they needed to do the promos, but they weren't good at it at all, so the managers would come and do it for them, and it had the same effect. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, if you look at, like, right now, I mean, back, you know, with Roman Reigns, he doesn't need a manager. I mean, he didn't need in essence, he did help him, you know, with Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman could cut a promo, but, you know, now, you know, you look at the guys right now, like Solo Sikoa and all that, the new bloodline, those guys, they definitely need him to help cut promos. But, you know, Roman Reigns didn't need anyone to cut a promo. You know, that's what I'm saying. Like, John Cena. Like, people ask me, okay, who are the greatest talkers of wrestling? And you got to start. Yeah, I tell you what, you know, Stone Cold, great promo cutter.
Great promo.
The Rock,
great promo.
You know, Triple H, you know, Ric Flair, you know.
Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Promo. Roddy Piper.
Oh, my goodness.
Promo. But, you know, like I said before, though, and really, you look forward to the promos. So that, you know, when you get the match, because you have to tell a story. You have to build up the match, and you do it with the promos, and you do it with all that. And then after you do that, now you look forward to the matches, you know. Like, for instance, like Goldberg could not cut a promo. I'm sorry.
No, right? He was terrible. You know,
and he admitted he didn't know what he was doing.
No.
But he couldn't cut a promo. And if there was ever a guy that needed a manager, it was Goldberg.
Yeah,
but, you know,
yeah.
And they kept his matches short because he didn't have a lot of wrestling ability.
No, he couldn't wrestle. Right.
If Goldberg first started, he didn't have the ability to do that. So.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's a lot of fun, man, revisiting all that. It really is. And peeps, I'm getting tons of text messages. I mean, it's just we all grew up with it. We all respect what they were doing. Even when you knew what was going on, it didn't matter because you're still out there having to do that. And I think the fact that you can perform to that kind of athletic level and not destroy each other's bodies is just amazing to me. It really is.
Well, and Arn Anderson always said, hey, you know, we have to take care of each other, you know.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
Send someone home safe to their families. And there were guys that just – like where they said Lex Luger needed polishing, you know. A lot of, just because you have muscles and strength doesn't necessarily make you a great wrestler. And all those guys needed work, needed polishing, and they did get the opportunity to get there, but it takes time. You know, not everyone has the ability to just jump out the gate and be like, boom, this is who I am. This is, you know, me as a wrestler. So it takes time, and it's just great to see what these guys have done.
Well, it's great stuff, man. Thanks for going down wrestling memory lane with me, and I hope you have a terrific week this week.
Well, you do, and like I said, congratulations, obviously, to we did hear about Christiansburg with Matt Heron being named the head football coach.
Right.
There's another opening in our area that, you know, people are looking to hire and fill that role. So in Roanoke Catholic, looking for a head football coach. So, you know, we got most of the positions filled. There's still one out there. So, you know, we got to look at it. And, you know, but definitely we'll have that going. And like I said, we're not too far away from the start of the football, high school football season. Teams are out there. Last night we did a story on the, you know, William Fleming and EC Glass joining together to do 7-on-7 and
very cool
lineman drills.
Very cool.
You know, that's good stuff.
Yeah, I love that. I love to hear that. I love to hear schools working like that because it's happening, you know, in the NFL level. I wish colleges could do it more, but it's cool to see schools understanding they need to get their practice in like that. That's really cool. Really cool.
And another thing real quick, I know you pressed for time, but, I mean, back in the day, you know, coaches couldn't be out there for practice. You basically depended on your players to run off-season practices before the fall camps. But now, when they look and see what Florida, California, Texas are doing, you know, the coaches are out there. It's year-round. Unless you're doing a sport, you know, you're out there year-round doing football stuff. So that's basically where we are right now. It's great to see it, and it's a big change over the years. So it's kind of neat to see it now.
Yeah, I do. I love it. I do. I love it. All right, my friend, listen, good stuff, and we will talk to you again next week. Stay safe.
What is your next topic next week? Because we got to load up with some summer stuff.
I don't know. Yeah, we will. Think of anything, let me know.
We'll come up with stuff.
We always do.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. We always do.
We always do.
You can always do best of stuff. Just run the best of, you know, if you still have it on tape.
There you go.
Run the best of.
That's true. That's true. That's Jermaine Farrell from WFXR. Be sure to check Jermaine out each and every night. He and his crew bringing you all the best of local sports coverage. We are taking a break. Coming back, wrapping up hour two. Remind you what's ahead in the Power Hour when we return.
A day to remember. It's BDST in the NRV.
Good stuff. We're getting a ton of reaction from our wrestling conversation. 744-2990. I still think one of the coolest modern moments, we were just talking about Shawn Michaels and Ric Flair. If you remember, during his retirement match, Ric Flair handpicked Shawn Michaels to be the guy to kind of send him in retirement. And you can find it on YouTube. First of all, how genuinely touched Shawn Michaels was to be chosen, and then how emotional he got toward the end. Because at the time, you know, Shawn Michaels was clearly the top of his craft, and Flair's better days were behind him. And they had the setup at the end when Shawn was going to end him from one turnbuckle, and Flair is struggling, you know, he's barely able to stand, and Shawn Michaels looks over, and the camera catches him, when he just says, "I'm sorry, I love you," and he, there comes the kick. Puts him down, he does the quick cradle cover, and as he's counted out, Flair's laying there, and he's just kind of laying beside him for a few seconds, bawling his eyes out. And before he slides out of the ring, he kisses him on the forehead. How about that? How cool was that? And you can find it. I always get chills when I watch that because that was a genuine moment. And that's one of the moments that I always fire back at. And I don't hang around and have too many people nowadays say, "Oh, it's fake," because people understand that it's entertainment. But that's one of those real moments that pop in there and make you realize how much it meant to those guys as well. And regardless of what you thought of Shawn Michaels, I mean, that guy was just, he was at a different level. And they all talk about it. When you watch those WWE documentaries, they all they all talk about, well, clearly he was the best in-ring talent during his time, Shawn Michaels. But yeah, I'm sorry, Wayne, I thought I had told the Ric Flair story. Yeah, it was in Huntersville, North Carolina. I sent Wayne a picture. And we're sitting there with my buddies, and we're getting ready to do the thing the next morning. And then, you know, all of a sudden the crowd gets a little stirring of the crowd, and here comes the Nature Boy walking in. And apparently he had a place where he stayed up top in the loft, and he just happened to be in town that weekend to check on his restaurant, and there he was. And we all went up and took pictures, shook his hand, and then he came over and just started talking to us. He just saw four dudes sitting there hanging out, and he sat down, and it was just like, you're sitting there, really? And he just sat down, and he was just asking us what we were doing. He was talking about the restaurant. He was talking about how his body still had this and that it had to go through because of the injuries that he sustained. We talked about his best friends. And at that point, you know, he's not worried about whether they were heels or faces, and how close he was to, and